automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Continuing now with our series exploring new urban environments in America. A moment ago, we talked about some suburbs in Denver, and we are looking at suburbs changing in America. We want to ask you, where do you stand? Is suburban living a dream or a nightmare? What could make suburbs better? Your thoughts at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Joining us now is our own new urbanism explorer dude, transportation writer Matt Dellinger, who is in Denver, Colorado for the Congress of New Urbanists. Matt, you are in a real position to see firsthand how challenged or enthusiastic the Denver suburbs are about making changes and especially having a new rail system. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
So what have you seen?
Well, yesterday we went on a tour, which basically we just rode the light rail line, the Southeast F line, to a couple of places out in the suburbs where they are building new village-style projects along the light rail system. And, you know, it's a little hard. The municipalities out there, the governments are trying to make sense of the change. There's suddenly a light rail station, and there's also a highway. They upgraded the highway to 10 lanes at the same time they built the interstate.
So which is strange.
Some of it was a little bizarre, schizophrenic out there.
Besides having a highway next to a rail system, what else was bizarre about it?
Well, we went to a place called Greenwood Village.
Right.
And a guy named George Weaver there, who's the director of community development, he described the challenges in forging an identity for this development.
Greenwood Village is really struggling with the notion of going from a suburban office environment to creating a not an urban, because clearly the city council said, we don't want an urban environment. We don't want to feel like downtown. Define for us suburban urban environment.
So, Matt, does this mean they're looking for a coherent center of town, but they don't want to call it downtown?
Kind of, but, you know, coherent would be a generous word to use. when we arrived at Greenwood Village, we're in a streetcar, which we'd been riding along I-25 the entire way. And the first thing you see off to the left is a huge parking garage with a clock tower on it, which it's kind of a physical manifestation of this schizophrenia I was talking about. And
it's a little medieval, too, I suppose.
I guess it's trying to be anyway. Yeah. And George Weaver was describing there's a lot of little things they're doing to try to make this feel like a city or a village or a town. And George Weaver was describing a fountain that they're going to put right there on the site.
It'll have lights, it's programmable, and it's intended to provide a lot of white noise. As you come off the train, you noticed how noisy it was. The white noise from this fountain, it's going to be a gusher and a gurgler, is going to try and make the retail space down on that plaza level a little bit more pleasant than what it would otherwise be.
So a musical fountain as a kind of mini Times Square. Are other villages taking maybe some other examples of trying to get a downtown or a downtownish feel?
They are. In fact, there's the light rail will eventually be extended even farther, 3 more stops in the next 10 years. And there's a place out there called Ridgegate, which in fact is hoping to become an edge city. And they talked about building a downtown that would look like downtown Denver, tall buildings and a real, real urban environment. They're kind of, you know, swinging for the fences there.
Now, you know, in general, there are people that you're collaborating with there thinking about communities like Denver and all the challenges. We talked with Ellen Dunham Jones, who's out there as well making presentations. Are the new urbanists feeling like Denver has it right here, is going down a road that's going to actually get somewhere?
Well, they know that they're trying, and they see that they're trying. And in some cases, they're succeeding. I did talk to a guy named Sam Zimbabwe, who's a transportation expert. He was on the tour with me. He's with Reconnecting America. And he feels like the places we saw are sort of watered-down versions of what they'd want.
I probably would not call what we saw today new urbanism, and I don't think that I heard too many of the developers actually pitching their product as new urbanists. I was actually interested to hear that they were trying to, in many cases, preserve some of the suburban values as they were building more density. And so I think what we saw was more of a better suburbanism.
You know, this is some of the criticism of new urbanism. I want to throw it to you directly. I mean, is it are new urbanists out of touch with reality in terms of the compromises and the realities that are going to be making some of these changes, and that there are always going to be compromises and we're always going to get somewhere that's not utopian, that's more in the middle?
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, for a new urbanist, taking them to your new village transit center is like taking a New Yorker to your favorite bagel shop in Cleveland. They're never going to be happy. There's always going to be something wrong. But there's a smell test. You know when you're in an urban place because it's not just that you can technically get from the train to the office building you're going to, but maybe you pass some shops on the way. Maybe you see other people. Maybe those people are, doing unorganized things like begging for change.
Well, you make a great point. The users are going to define the identities of these new communities. The architecture is really just the beginning. We're going to be talking with James Howard Kunstler, another new urbanist, later on in the morning. Matt Dellinger, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Matt Dellinger, of course, our new urbanist, prowling Denver for signs of change.